What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. ATs share weird injuries on Twitter. This is actually Bubba is joining me. He was going to do a kind of a case studies, and then we were going to do this other episode, and we're just kind of combine them into a couple different short episodes, so you can just kind of jump in and out and hear some random stories. So Bubba's got some of his stuff that's strange that happened, and it goes along with what we did a couple weeks ago with Kathy and Thomas. And then also we're going to hear from, I guess, read the tweets that a bunch of people submitted about weird stuff that's happened and kind of give our commentary there. So this conversation is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/war stories. And if there's a second, third, fourth episode, it'll be War Stories 2, War Stories 3, War Stories 4, that kind of thing. So if you go to sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/war stories, it'll have the show notes and it'll have all these different tweets that people have sent in. And that way you can see those, click on those, get links to those, or contact the people to hear more or whatever it is. So without much further ado, one of the things, March is coming up right around the corner, and Lori Beth, she's on Twitter, she wanted to thank Leah Cox in saying that Leah swept her under her wing and went out of her way to help her grow her confidence as an athletic trainer. She showed her firsthand what professionalism looks like, and she hopes to be half the athletic trainer that Leah is one day. So as we're celebrating athletic training, National Athletic Training Month, getting, you know, is right around the corner from when we're recording this. I want to make sure that we are saying thank you to those people, that it's not just I think about them every now and then, but physically say thank you. So it's whether it's through me, the podcast, through Twitter in response to something I said, through a letter you write them, a phone call, something like that. Just say, hey, thanks for teaching me. Thanks for showing me. Because without those athletic trainers, most of us wouldn't be who or where we are today. Positive or negative, they either showed us one thing to do or one thing not to do. So Lori, thanks for responding. And Leah, thanks for being a mentor. All right, Bubba, you are up. So why don't you start us off with some of the war stories that you have, and then we'll continue from there.
I think the most recent, the most recent one I have is 4 years ago in the fall. I had a 16-year-old athlete have a stroke on the football field at practice. So long story short, because we're going to try to get through a bunch of these, he made a tackle, got up, complained of dizziness. So you go through the whole thing, concussion, blah, 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 C-spine, nothing added up. Had a facial droop, so I'm thinking stroke, but he's 16 years old, so I don't exactly think that's a high on my priority list. Goes to the hospital, gets a MRI done, and shows a lesion, and ultimately had a defect on his septum that had a hole in his heart. And what they think is it was blocked with a blood clot. When he made the tackle and went to the ground, it blew the clot through and caused the stroke. A month later, he had the hole fixed, and he actually played football the next year. He kicked, and then he played soccer for 2 years after that. And he's doing well. I talk to him all the time now. It wasn't something I was actually – well, I know my radar is something that would be wrong with a 16-year-old kid, and as I've spoken about that several times. I think the big takeaway for athletic trainers is we all get, for the most part, get locked into orthopedic injuries, and those are kind of the sexy things for us. And we've got to go back and brush up and stay current on the other things that aren't so sexy, i.e. something like this.
Yeah, I had never heard of a stroke before. You mentioned it as a 16-year-old kid. I mean, obviously, my grandpa had a stroke and ended up, killing him through the complications. But he was, 70, 80, whatever years old. But as far as 16, you just don't think that happens. So
right. The interesting thing with that is researching it, because I even went to the ER physician, afterwards, and I said, hey, did you think this kid had a stroke when he first came in? He goes, nah. One on my differential diagnosis list high up there. And so when I got to researching it with this patent foraminal avowal that he had, the defect, there's 25% of the population that has it. And so the question becomes, how do you know if you've got it? Well, there's the old term called a blue baby. So if you're born blue or you're not oxygenating, they know you've basically got this defect and they fix it. But you may not know you have this defect, or if they find out you have this defect, there's parameters on if you fix it or not. If it's above a certain size, you fix it. If it's below that, you watch it. And I said, well, what are you watching for? And in essence, I say, well, if they have a stroke, then we fix it. You know, I mean, and that's a little bit oversimplification, but that's pretty much how it goes, because there's a lot of debate on, you have this defect, should you fix every one of them? I mean, there's risk with every procedure. So, again, just, you know, not something you expect to see in a 16-year-old population.
All right. All right, so what else you got? You want to just go through some of these and then you'll throw some more in?
Yeah, about 18, I was trying to figure out how, excuse me, I'm getting over a cold, how long ago it was. It was about 18 or so years ago. Had a swimmer come in, walks into my athletic training room at the high school I was working at, said, hey, my coach sent me over here to have you look at me. I said, what's wrong? She goes, I don't know. Well, I just happened to look up at her, and, you know, you're supposed to look people in the eye. I look her in the eyes, and she's got one big, huge pupil, and the other one's normal. I'm like, what'd you do? She goes, nothing. And she was a diver. And so that gets sent to the ER, obviously. And they have no clue why she blew one pupil and was acting and, you know, functioning normally, other than the fact that when she was three, she had fallen down her stairs and was in the hospital for a week or so with a concussion, loss of consciousness. And they think the only thing they can figure, and this was well before we understood concussions as well as we do now, which is still not very well, that in her dives, she hit that exact spot she had hit all those years ago and caused this. Now, whether she did or didn't, who knows, but she ended up being okay. But, you know, again, do you expect a kid to walk in normal with one blown pupil? Is not, you know, not something you expect to see. So that was just a little oddity. And then
tell me a little bit more about that. So you said blown pupil. So was just the iris gone? Like it was just all black?
Yeah, basically. Just huge pupil. And the other one was normal size.
All right. So when you did that, did you do any sort of like the light test or anything like that? And just no response?
No response. The other one responded. She could track, but that one didn't respond to light.
And so they thought that this was something that just happened? Like, was she still able to see with that blown pupil?
Yeah, she had some blurry vision, but, you know, she could function. She could talk. You know, she was obviously she could talk. She was responsive, but everything was normal except for that pupil. So,
all right.
You know, and my argument is it's not my job to figure out why. That's their job. My job is to get her to people that can figure out what's going on. But that was just weird. I mean, they didn't let her die for the rest of the year, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, like, what caused it? Well, they think I just hit that spot. Well, maybe you did, maybe you didn't. Again, that's not up to me. You know, she was doing okay, and that's all that really mattered in the grand scheme of things. So,
now, I know with you being diabetic, diabetics usually will have problems with their eyes. Mm-hmm. Was that ever a question?
No. I mean, she had no diabetic history, on any of her paperwork or anything like that. So, and that's typically more of a neuropathy, retinal neuropathy, not anything, you know, pupil reaction response.
All right. So what else you got? So you got a list.
Three different femur fractures, a mid-shaft, a distal femur, and a medial femoral condyle fracture, all during football. The mid-shaft was easy. The interesting thing was when I got to him, the way he was laying, I actually thought he had dislocated his hip. And so I just asked him, I said, can you manipulate yourself to lay flat, or, you know, to get your body more square? And when he did, you just saw basically, what is it? The old adage, the first sign of a broken bone is a false joint. And you just saw a mid shaft just kind of, you know, move there. And so my first instinct was crap. I hope it didn't go through the skin. So I glove up and reach my hand down into his football pants. And luckily it was dry. So, I mean, that was easy. EMS and put a rod in there, you know, had a distal femur. That was weird. It just was offset a little bit. It didn't have that. He was tender, but it didn't have that proper look to it, you know, and there wasn't a whole lot of testing we were going to do after that other than, you know, was he neurovascularly intact? And then the medial femoral condyle one was, oh, it's an MCL. Oh, no, it wasn't. You know, it opened up like an MCL,
yeah.
You know, but no, it was knocked off. So that had to go get fixed.
All right, so in all your femur fractures, have you ever heard of somebody having a femur fracture and then walking off the field?
Of the ones I've had, no.
So you've heard of it before?
I've not heard of one, but that doesn't shock me that somebody would.
Because Derek Cook, he showed me a picture years ago. He had a guy, he was super strong legs, and he just like sheared the distal portion of the femur and broke it, and then the guy kind of like limped off the field.
Yeah.
So, you know, then they get him afterwards to the ER or whatever it was. I was like, I've never heard of someone having a femur fracture and walking off the field.
But think about in the Olympics, you've got this snowboarder that fractured his cervical spine and finished the run. So, I mean, it happens. You've got these fractures that people – I know of a cervical fracture in football, collided with another person. He just said his neck was sore and he had motion, no deficits. But the other guy's loopy as can be with a concussion. The neck, they finally, after they look at him, they refer him to the ER. He walks into the ER and ends up having to get stabilized. You don't expect an unstable cervical spine fracture to walk into the emergency room either.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, anything's possible.
So this is not in anything related. This is just a story somebody told me, a guy that goes to my church. He was up on top of the fence and, like, fell off. And he actually, like, was holding his head up. It was like holding, stabilizing his own head while his dad drove him to the hospital. And they ended up like sending him home without anything. I don't know if they did. I don't know all the stories, but he said they ended up having to go to another doctor. And he ended up having one of those halos, you know, where they screwed into his head. And he has, I think he has three vertebrae in his neck because they're fused. They're fused. And so just the stories, I should have found out more, but I wasn't thinking about that beforehand. So
and then I guess my last one that of this is that I actually dealt with was a knee dislocation with a no distal pulse. So, and we reduced it on the field and the pulse came back. So I mean, but that's also probably another podcast on reducing dislocations stories from there. So, because I'm all for trying to reduce them.
Yeah, that's a some people are very adamant about not reducing dislocations. I go with what, like, Dr. Shoup at the Sports Medicine Update. Almost every time I've been to a workshop, a doctor said,
try.
If there's a fracture, try and reduce it. If you can't do it, get it on the second time, you just package them that way and send it, right? Because you're going to reduce the damage. You're going to increase the comfort.
Right.
So that's what I go with, you know, and I give it a shot. If I can, I can. If I can't, I can't. So
my physician that I dealt with that told me this said, I don't want to see a dislocation in the emergency room that you didn't try to reduce. It's okay.
There you go.
So,
all right. So we're going to get to some of these that are on Twitter. Again, I tweeted out, hey, what are some of the strange things you have seen? And I got a whole lot of responses. So we're going to read through some of them. So we got Alex, which is Alex_day19. It's got three of them, right? Can you see the list, Bubba? You're just going to comment? Okay. All right. So Alex had a kid fall in the shower after a game and had a puncture wound in the calf. Said no one could find the sharp object and it didn't bleed after the initial skin break.
Well, okay. I'm just shocked that the athlete was actually showering. That's the first response I have because for whatever reason, they don't anymore.
Right.
They ought to build schools without them. They could save a lot of money. there's no telling. There's no telling what cut him, honestly.
Yeah. I had one time in college had to go working with volleyball into the shower or like the shower area because one of the girls had passed out or something like that. You know, I'm the student athletic trainer, and I don't think she was showering. I think that maybe she went in there to like puke and passed out or something like that. I don't remember everything, but it's always kind of weird.
Yeah.
All right. Testicular torsion.
Ouch.
What's your personal experience with that, Bubba?
My personal experience is none on myself or others. So.
All right. I should have looked it up, but what is testicular torsion?
All right. If I remember, that is you're basically twisting the testicle to where.
I'm about to get fired for Googling testicular torsion.
Actually, no, you're not.
Testicular torsion occurs when a testicle rotates.
Loss of blood flow.
Twisting the spermatic cord that brings blood to the scrotum. The reduced blood flow causes sudden and often severe pain and swelling.
We did have a baseball catcher take a 92-mile-an-hour fastball off the plate one time, and that thing swole up so big. It broke his cup, and he had to go see the urologist and get a little treatment for a while.
So I saw a thing on, like, the sports science or whatever those things are where they, like, slow things down and show how they work. It was Smoltz has the Nut Buddy, Nut Buddy Cup. So it's like a cup that's specifically made to
where they fire
like
the
that.
Ball
yeah,
right like into theirs.
Yeah, he's like a 95-mile-an-hour fastball office.
Yeah, stuff. I'm not going to be the guy that's willing to test that thing.
No, he stands behind his product, literally. So, all right. And then Alex, again, we're going on the list there. It's too close of a shave downstairs created a lump that they thought was a hernia. So don't shave your testicles. All right. A lot of testicle stories there. So I talked about it before. I had a kid with a fracture femur. No contact. Standing, playing soccer, making a move. Boom. Femur was fractured. Required a rod. And
and no tumor, though. I mean, because that's my first question was, is there a tumor because of non-contact?
But no, I didn't ask
that. You'd see it in
that.
The x-ray, but I mean, so.
I didn't ask that, but they didn't say anything about it, so. All right. Woodford, CEO Sports Medicine, said they had a soccer kid with a tibial plateau fracture. They stepped on a ball to make a move, slipped, and felt a pop. Huh. All right. So it seems like after J.J. Watt broke his tibial plateau, had his tibial plateau fracture, that it's come up a whole lot. I mean, obviously it's happened before, but is this something that's newer?
No. No.
No?
It's common. It wasn't as mainstream until J.J. where people understood, you know, heard more about it. I know when I was with Dr. Lowe, we probably had one or two a year that he would fix. So, I mean, not that many, but enough. You know, I mean, one was a catcher, softball catcher got taken out and, you know, fractured her tibial plateau, similar to JJ, but hers was a, you know, sliding into the plate versus him just loading his. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, you know, it's pretty common.
So, I don't know who it was. I was having this conversation. Do you feel like athletes like JJ Watt, are their muscles are too strong and their bones can't adapt to it and handle that? Are there ligaments or tendons?
Well,
probably not their tendons, but their ligaments.
I'm not going to just say it's JJ. I'm going to say my personal opinion is I don't think in the world of human performance sports medicine that we do a good enough job. We create these bigger, faster, stronger athletes, all right? So we hypertrophy in our muscles. Our ligaments aren't getting thicker and stronger. Our articular cartilages aren't getting stronger. Our bones, to an extent, get stronger because that's a stress that's going to, you know, make a response to the bone. But at some point, something's going to give. And my for instance, is, again, when I was working with Dr. Lowe, we had two ACL patients that tore their ACL from nothing more than kicking at a ball and missing. And the quad contraction alone created the anterior translation with enough force to tear the ACL. Okay? So I think JJ's a big, fast guy. If you look at that on film, it's an ACL mechanism, but his bone gave before the ACL did for whatever reason. I don't know. You know, I mean, it just happens.
Right.
Look, Tim Crumry in the Super Bowl 20-plus years ago had a spiral fracture on his tibia just from trying to cut, and you can just see that sucker flopping in the breeze. But, I mean, it happens, you know. But I think we got to go away from making bigger, faster, stronger, and get into making better athletes. And I think better athletes is probably a more supple athlete, a more balanced athlete, where they've got movement, you know, agility. They can function. It's not just some big, thick meathead of a kid that, you know, they can lift a lot of weight.
All right. So a similar injury happened here. I had a athlete tear the ACL. But when they went to the doctor, they went to surgery and they was like, oh wait, your ACL is perfectly fine. It just avulsed mm-hmm. where the ACL was attached to the tibial plateau.
Tibial spine.
Yeah. And so they just reattached it there. Athlete seems to be doing well now and is just very anxious to get back to sports and things like that. Cause it seems like that heals pretty fast.
Yeah. Cause the ligament's intact. So it's just, you're just repairing the avulsion fracture.
Basically a matter of bone. But on that, doctor said that the athlete won't be able to run this year. So not until next year will the athlete be like, cleared to run. And this happened probably, I would say, December. So until November is about whenever the athlete was going to be cleared. So again, about 11 months there.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. You know, there's so many things that go into that. Was there anything else damaged? How well did it go back when it was put back on? I mean, because, you know, sometimes you evolve it and you're missing some pieces, you know. So there's too many factors at play to just, you know, to say, yeah, that makes sense or it doesn't, you know. Who knows?
Yeah. It's hard to explain without being specific because, you know, we want to keep the generalities here. All right. So, again, Woodford Sports Medicine. So talking about the tibial plateau fracture. It said that they saw blistering instead of a fusion and knew it wasn't a normal knee injury.
Fracture blister.
A fracture blister. Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm ignorant. What is that?
It's just one of those signs. You see blistering like that, you just think fracture. I don't know what causes it. It's just one of those pearls I was told. If you see this blister, think fracture.
So it looks like a blister, like a sunburn blister, mm-hmm. or like a bottom of the foot friction.
Like a sunburn blister, like a burn.
Like bubbling just on the
bubble
skin.
Bubble up, yeah.
Does that also happen after surgery? Because I had one of my kids with ACL, but he also had like three other things fixed too. I think he said he had some blisters on his skin
that. Yeah, you can have some just from some of the swelling, different things. Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. I have learned something new. All right, Mike Copper, always active on social media, had a football player with a bug fly through his ear hole of his helmet and into his ear. The head AT and the team doc couldn't get it out of the field, and they referred him straight to the ENT, who ended up having to put the kid to sleep to remove the bug.
I had a kid cut the lower part of his earlobe on his helmet one time. He put his helmet on, and his earlobe was curled up, and he got hit or something, and it cut it right there, and actually had to just get excised off. Couldn't spare
it. Like Matt Schaub?
Yeah, pretty much.
He's got his helmet ripped right off. So, that's
had
scary.
A kid swallow a safety pin, now that I think about it.
Swallow a safety pin.
It was open.
What was the course of action? Did they drop a magnet down his throat or something?
No, they just...
Just let him go?
You watch it. They went to the ER, but you watch it. Yeah, I'll leave it at that.
You just watch it. Did he have to stay home? I mean, like, did he have to stay in the hospital until it passed?
No.
You have to watch for it, huh?
Yeah.
Don't swallow safety pins, Adrian.
Don't put crap in your mouth. You don't need to put in your mouth.
All right. My wife is terrified of spiders, and I read somewhere once that you swallow an average of 8 spiders in your lifetime, like while you're sleeping.
Really?
Yeah. And so like this right here, we got a bug flying into your ear and you're requiring surgical removal or being sedated.
Is she listening today?
I don't know. She may be, but.
You're probably within 6 feet of a spider at any time. So just FYI.
There you go. I know. That's what I tell her. I was like, spiders eat mosquitoes. I hate mosquitoes. Spiders don't really ever bite me. So this is possibly my favorite story, my favorite response out of all of them. Daniel Eisley, which is EASLEYATC on Twitter, said he had a kid sprain his ankle while taking a nap on the couch. So it was between football practices. Kid apparently rolled over in his sleep. His foot was caught between the pillows, sprained his ankle, ended up being put in a boot after going to the doctor and quitting, not playing that year and quitting football because he hurt his ankle taking a nap on the couch.
Well, that reminds me. I had a kid pull his hamstring while sleeping and brought me a doctor's note as such. I don't know. I thought you're supposed to be relaxed while sleeping.
And did you ask for details? I mean, what's the deal there?
At some point, you just shake your head and move on, you know. So I'm like, huh? And he goes, yeah, I was sleeping and pulled my hamstring. I've got a doctor's note. Okay.
All right, so we're going to end this one right here. It's a nice, quick episode, but we're going to come back. So this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/warstories. We're going to pick back up with sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/warstories2, where we share some of the stories that athletic trainers have seen, weird stuff they've seen throughout their careers. So one thing I would ask is, if you're going to NATA in 2018 in New Orleans, then come find me. I'll be at the podcast booth, the podcast lounge, all right? And so me and Rob are kind of co-hosting and we'll be there the whole time. So come find me at the podcast lounge there at NATA Convention in New Orleans. So Bubba on Twitter is ATCLAT Bubba. And then obviously sportsmedicinebroadcast.com is all the ways to get a hold of me. So
I'll come Jeremy, hang out with you at NATA.
Yep, yep. So Bubba will be there too. Kathy will be there helping out. So come find us. Let us know. Come be a part of us, one of the shows, maybe even get a free t-shirt. So come meet us at NATA in New Orleans.